How you doing?
Hey, Chad, I'm doing all right. Sitting here listening to WBAI, of course, and this promo they have for the Night Flight Slow Jam on Saturday, September 24th from noon to 5 p.m.
Man, what day did you say this is going to be?
That's Saturday, September 24th from noon to 5 p.m.
I know, I'll be listening.
That's right, me too. The Night Flight Slow Jam on 99.5 FM, WBAI.
Emily Ann, I love June Jones.
I know you do, Charles, because I am June Jones, and you didn't even know it.
I did so. What is Mr. Warburn, the old man we adopted from the welfare department, doing on the ceiling, Emily Ann?
Oh, just trying out the new bottle of anti-gravity that Rene Aubergenois gave him.
If Rene Aubergenois gives you a bottle of anti-gravity for Labor Day, it would be possible to enter the 11th dimension, if for only an hour and a half. This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical nuclear physics.
Yes, you can now have an easy-to-complain to the FCC kit.
Listen to Poisoned Arts on WBAI, Monday through Thursday on the morning show just before 7, and in the afternoon just before Shelf Life at 4.
And it's a little bit after 10 o'clock here on WBAI in New York. It's time for Off the Hook.
Well,
that's one of the numbers you can call, but 3400 is the number you're supposed to call. But, you know, who cares? As long as you get through to us, we're WBAI in New York, and the program is Off the Hook. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. We're here every Wednesday night at this time, and usually we're here for an hour. Tonight we're here for 2 hours again, but the upshot of that is that we are not here next week. So, adjust your calendars and schedules appropriately. We're here once again to ask for your support, and of course, hopefully we'll be getting that support throughout these 2 hours. That's the idea of us being on for 2 hours, so that we can get all kinds of support for programs like this, for this particular program. Every week we come here and we talk about high technology and the telephone system, and how 9X is ripping everybody off sometimes, most of the time actually, or just being completely and totally inept and cloddish and things like that, and our listeners trade stories with us and experiences and things like that. We're a bastion of information. We're a place where people can spout off their various complaints, bits of information, that kind of thing. So please be there for us when we when we need you to be there for us. We'll get into that a little bit later on. For now, let's see. We have a couple of interesting stories. We might be hearing from Fiber Optic sometime during this program. However, I have to say I kind of doubt it because last I heard he had run out of money. Kind of like the radio station, but in his particular case, he can only cash money orders once a week. And that day has already gone. We sent him a money order last week, but apparently didn't get to him in time. So if he's unable to call this week, that's probably why. He's got to pay inflated rates for phone calls. For those of you that don't know, Fiber Optic is someone who has been a part of this radio program for quite some time, who's currently incarcerated in the prison state of Pennsylvania. I understand they're putting that on the license plates now, the prison state. I'm not kidding. You think I'm joking? No. There are so many prisons in Pennsylvania, it's not funny. It's totally ridiculous. So he's incarcerated there until November 22nd, I understand, at which point he'll come back here and hopefully have all kinds of interesting stories to tell us. And the mood can change around here, too, from one of glum depression to foolish optimism like we used to have. Okay, let's talk about a couple of items that are going on. These are experiences that various people have had with phone companies. And we've been getting this from various points on the Internet. When you're on the Internet, you can find out virtually anything. That's what we're constantly showing people. And we're gonna show you a couple of interesting things later on. This is something off a news group. And I believe this news group is, alt.dcom.telecom is the companion to comp.dcom.telecom, the Telecom Digest. This one allows people to just post whatever experiences they have without the messages having to be approved by anybody, which is really the way it should be. Now, this person is from the Pacific Coast, so yes, it does not just happen here. It happens everywhere. I just ordered two lines from Pac Bell for my new apartment. Pac Bell is their 9X. Yes, it's their crutch or burden or cross, that's what it is. Their cross hanging around their neck. I showed up on move-in day and plugged in a telephone to the jack, and it was one of the lines. Remember, he ordered two lines. I wired up the yellow and black to another jack and found nothing. Fair enough. I went outside to look for the NIJs. Nowhere to be found. Went back in. Started following wires along the molding and finally found the NIJ for the working line in a dusty crawl space which was technically inside some other tenant's storage space. Only one line. I followed it further. It went to a tar-sealed pipe coming straight out of the ground. So I called Pac Bell. Where's my phone line? I asked. It was installed yesterday. But it's not here. I mean, it's physically not here. Sir, do you want us to send a repair technician to your house? I don't care. Send anyone you want. I just want my phone line. Okay, the first appointment we have is Monday afternoon. Is that all right? That's fine. I won't be home, but you don't need to get inside. It's just that there's no network interface. That's NIJ, network interface jack there. Okay, sir, that will be a $75 visit charge plus our hourly rate of God knows what. What? You never installed my line. I'm not paying you $75 on top of the $35 I already paid you to do just that. My records show the installation was completed successfully yesterday. The problem is in your wiring. If you're not home and we need to access your wiring to fix it, you will still have to pay the $75 visit charge. But I don't have any wiring. There's nothing to connect to. There followed a bunch of pointless arguing in which she said she couldn't send anyone out unless I authorized a $75 charge, should they need to get in my house, and I wasn't there, and I said I only wanted to authorize them to do outside work, which they wouldn't accept. I ended up taking the afternoon off, which probably cost me about $75 anyway. Finally, at the last minute, the guy came. I explained the argument I'd had with the repair center op. He opened the PT&T cover on the sidewalk, clipped on his butt set, and said, "It's working. So, since it's your wiring, you're going to have to pay $75 anyway, so I might as well come inside and have a look and try to fix it." "No way," I said. "I want you to show me the network interface." He walked around the building a couple of times. Finally, I had to show him the conduit where the other line rose from behind the garbage cans. Hmm, he said, and went back to the sidewalk. Finally, after about 45 minutes of tones and calls to the repair center and clipping and following wires, he found my line. The tip was going to an empty apartment in my building. The ring was going to the house next door. I assume I won't get charged the $75. I haven't seen my bill yet, but I'll fight to the death if they do. But I think anyone who hadn't been reading alt.dcom.telecom or wasn't as much of a pain in the ass as I am would have gotten rooked out of plenty of money. I can only imagine this sort of thing happens all the time. At the end, of course, he tried to sell me the inside wiring maintenance plan. Oh, yes. Well, phone companies around the country are the same. Make no doubt about that. And in most places, there's only one of them. But that's going to change. Very soon, I think within the next couple of months, we're going to have different choices to get local dial tones. And, of course, we'll be talking about that right here on this program. The only problem is, you know, some of the companies that are offering the different dial tones are companies that are offering you cable TV, you know. And then Ninex and friends want to get involved with cable TV. I mean, do you think that they're ready for this? They can barely grasp the phone system. And the cable companies, I don't know, they don't seem too great with the cable. So the two of them are going to be competing with each other. I'd like to see some other entities get involved here, you know, like I don't know, maybe the sanitation department or something could provide dial tones. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? It's already happened with 9X, so let's have some variety out there. You know, variety works with things like food and culture. Why can't it work with local dial tones? You know, you can have a different sounding dial tone. You can have musical dial tones. You can have voice recognition dial tones. Each one representative of a different company. I mean, it's not far-fetched if we if we want to compete like this, I think we ought to go for it. Here's another story, this one having to do with 9X. Yeah, okay. This will sound familiar to a lot of people. A week ago, I called up 9X with the goal of ordering a couple of additional telephone lines. One thing that went better than I expected was that I asked for the lines to be provided from a central office that was ISDN capable. The idea being that later, if I wanted to, I could convert the lines to ISDN without having to change the phone numbers. At first, the clerk said, IDSN, what's that? Yeah, well, what do they do, practice this question in front of a mirror? But later she came back and said she had determined which exchanges would satisfy that requirement. Two of the 30 or so exchanges in my central office are ISDN capable, the other 28 are not. Then came the moment we were all waiting for, scheduling the installation. She says, so, we will come out September 20th, unless that is not convenient, in which case we will come out September 21st. This was some 2 weeks after the day that I was on the phone with the clerk. Now, 9X does not reveal it anywhere in the telephone directory or anywhere else, but a little-known New York State law says that service should generally be installed within 5 business days. The date the clerk was proposing was something like 10 business days, which, in my estimation, is something like double. Oh, and then the law also says that if the installation cannot be done within 5 business days, then the phone company is obligated to tell you what your other choices are to tide you over. Seems to me they should issue a cellular phone at their expense during the intervening time. Anyway, the clerk did not do any of the things required by law, did not commit to an installation date, and did not tell me what my other choices were that could have tided me over. Oh, and the law also says they have to commit to half-day appointments. So if they ever say, we will be out between 9 and 5, this violates the law. So, I completed the order, which involved one of the two new lines hunting to the other. Then I called up the president's helpline, 800-722-2300, said I was concerned that the law was not being complied with. What law, she asked. I cited the section of the law. She said she had no idea what I was talking about. I told her to go read it and call me back. She refused. Finally, I faxed the law to her. A few minutes later, she calls up and says, well, I suppose we have to try to install within 5 business days. I say, well, part of the problem was your clerk failing to commit to an installation within 5 days, while the other problem was that your clerk failed to do the counseling required by law regarding my alternative choices to tide me over. Anyway, a little later, she calls back and says, it is now set for today, September 13th, in the morning between 8 and noon, today being 5 business days away from the day that they talked on the phone. I do find it kind of annoying that lots of other customers are being jerked around. The only reason they finally committed to installing my service within the period set by law was that I faxed the law to them. I imagine most customers don't do this. So today, I sit glued to my chair from 8 to noon. I certainly did not want to duck out and buy a paper, for example, only to return in 1 minute to find a tag on the door saying, "We are sorry we missed you when we called." You guessed it. Noon comes, and nobody from the phone company. So I get on the horn and call up the president's helpline. The woman there asks me to hold while she tries to round up a foreman in charge of installation. 15 minutes pass. While holding that phone to my ear, I grab the phone on the fax machine and call up the order service center, the people I called in the first place. Eventually, I reach a supervisor. With some difficulty, I extract the confession that the call was set for 8 to noon and that nobody came to see me. The supervisor agrees to make somebody come by 5 p.m. I had a court appearance in the afternoon and would not be back till around 5 p.m. in the first place. This guy's a lawyer. I returned from court. There was the damn hang tag. The one that says, "Sorry, we missed you when we called." Gosh darn it, double darn it. I tried to call the number on the tag. It says to call 334-0500. I dial it, get the long-winded recording explaining that I have to call any of several other numbers depending on just what it is that I want and explaining that this number is not in service. Yeah, 5 p.m. arrives. Shock of shocks, the supervisor calls back. Wants me not to worry. Someone will really be coming by shortly. He has just spoken with the installation foreman, and for sure the guy will be here real soon now. 5:40, the installer arrives. Tries to lay a guilt trip on me for not being home at 4 p.m. when he left the tag. I point out that if anyone was wronged, it was me for having to sit around for 4 hours this morning. I point out that he did not show up within the appointed time, but showed up 4 hours late. I point out that the phone number he put on the tag is out of service. Anyway, he gets to work. All I ordered was network interface jacks, so the installation will cost me the same modest amount regardless of how long it takes to install. Some work required in the apartment, some work required in the commercial space on the first floor and basement, and some work in a room in the basement where the cable enters from the street. It's all installed, so I plug in my handy-dandy polarity tester. "Sorry, both light up red. Could he please correct the polarity?" I ask. He heads back to the basement. He comes back up. Now one of the two new lines is correct polarity, while the other is now dead. I finally catch on how to deal with this. I pull out some UHF walkie-talkies and suggest he take it with him to the basement. When he thinks it's all fixed, he can call me on the walkie-talkie, and I'll let him know what the polarity tester shows. He gets both lines working in the basement, calls me. I test both lines. They test out good. Returns to the scene. Hands are shaking all around. Estimated time, 1.5 hours. Then I sit down with a two-line phone to test the lines. The hunting does not work. That's not the installer's fault, of course. It's a slip-up in the order of the service center or in the central office. Presumably, it can be fixed with one phone call. So here are the problems with this particular order. 1, failure to offer installation within 5 days. 2, failure to counsel me about the alternative since the phone company cannot install within 5 days. 3, failure to show up during promised 4-hour time interval. 4, writing disconnected number on call tag. 5, wiring up lines with backwards polarity. 6, failing to implement hunting. Oh, and I suppose this installer was getting overtime pay for the time past 5 p.m. I hate to see this allocated to regular business expense, namely charged to all ratepayers. It ought to come out of the money that would have gone to shareholder dividends. Well, that's a story also pulled off the internet. And that came from Carl Oppedal. And unfortunately, that seems to be the rule rather than the exception. I mean, I've dealt with 9X a number of occasions. I know lots of people that have. And I cannot find one person who says that, boy, you know, they do a speedy job. They really get everything right. They try so hard. Whenever you order something, it seems they are going to get it wrong at some point somehow. Unfortunately, that's just the way it always seems to be. Got something in the mail today from 9X concerning their voicemail system. You know, they send you this pamphlet that disses answering machines. Tells you how lousy answering machines are. You know, they garble your messages. You can lose the tape. You can have it fall out a window or something. It'd be a shame if that happened, wouldn't it? Well, get ready for a better way to get your messages than anything you've ever tried before with Call Answering. New from 9X, the anytime, all-the-time service. Call Answering takes messages around the clock. When you're not home, when you're already on the phone, when you're just too damn busy to answer, or even if the power's out. There's nothing to break down or to repair because Call Answering works with any touch-tone phone. That is, assuming you pay the touch-tone fee. Yeah. because you have trouble connecting if you don't. You can get your messages from just about anywhere, and you don't even have to worry about turning call answering off or on. That means it works all the time, so you're always in touch. Sign up for call answering today. Take advantage of a terrific limited-time offer. They're offering it for free installation, if installation really amounts to much. I mean, you're not really charged installation when you plug in an answering machine, are you? But phone company manages to do it. And, of course, there's that monthly fee, which very quickly, within a year, will exceed any answering machine known to man. So you have to ask yourself, you want these guys handling your messages too, storing information and keeping it all on the computer somewhere? Or would you rather have your messages designed for you, you know, your own private person, kept private, or as private as you want to keep it? Remember the answering machine and sneakers, you know, that was used for many other things, but you can keep an answering machine as private as you want, but with 9X, you can only put in a 4-digit password. That's it. There's a limited number of those around, and I'm sure it's pretty easy to get it out of 9X with a little social engineering. Okay, we're going to do some engineering of our own. Let's go to the Atlas. You know, we've been doing a bit of work with phone companies ourselves, operators, that kind of thing. And I reached this conclusion only a couple of days ago. Kind of startling. The conclusion was that AT&T operators are getting nasty. You know, they're getting downright offensive. They don't want to, really do all that much work. They just want to connect you to things and get on to the next customer, you know. And my other conclusion was that that Sprint and MCI operators are a lot more friendly. You know, it really kind of shocked me there to see this. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to try and find out some information here. We're going to see how capable they are at providing us with this information. We're going to, first of all, access... should we do AT&T first? Yeah, let's do AT&T first. Carrier access code of 10288. And I think we have it on this particular line. Now, what we're going to try and do here, in the upcoming issue of 2600, the autumn issue, which just got to the printer only a few days ago, we have a guide to all the internet codes, that is, domain codes that tell you the country that everything is allocated to. In the United States, we don't really use that all that much. We use .edu for educational institutions, .com for commercial entities, .gov for government entities, .mil for military entities, and various other things like that. Every other country, though, has to have a two-letter suffix added on to indicate the country that they're in. So the default is always the United States. If you see .nl, that means Netherlands. If you see .ar, that means Argentina, et cetera, et cetera. Now, we were able to get a hold of the list of every single one of these codes, and a couple of really interesting things are evident here. And those interesting things are as follows. Every single possible nation has been allocated an internet domain name. And some of these places don't even have any people and don't have any phone service. What do you think about that? That's a pretty weird thing to have happen. So what we're going to try and do is track down one of these islands in the Pacific. Yeah, okay, let's go to an island called McDonald Island. McDonald Island. Now that's somewhere in the South Pacific. Okay, and we know that their country code, according to the internet, is let's see, where did it go? McDonald Island. Heard in McDonald Islands. If you ever get an internet message with the suffix of .hm, that means that it came from Heard in McDonald Islands. Now, these are islands that you would never find because they're very, very tiny and they're very uninhabited, too. But they're technically owned and operated by Australia, except I don't think people in Australia know they exist either. It's kind of a weird situation here. Okay, let's see if we can get an AT&T operator. See how helpful they can be. They may very well be very helpful. You never know. Well, it takes forever to get them, too.
AT&T. To place a call, please dial the number that you're calling now. Or for assistance, say, operator, now.
Operator, please. Remember we used to dial O and get an operator?
Your response was not understood.
Oh, come on. I said operator.
Please hold for operator assistance.
Oh, she heard me that time. Great.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, operator. I need a country code. I was hoping you could help me.
What country?
It's actually an island somewhere in the South Pacific. It's called McDonald Island.
All right, one moment. Let me see what I have.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so where is it near? Because I don't have anything from McDonald Island.
Well, I know it's in the South Pacific. I think it's south of India, but it's technically owned by Australia. So I'm not sure which country code I would use, or if I use it.
All right, let me see what Australia has. Hold on.
Okay. I'm trying to find it on my atlas here. Ah, there it is. It's near Antarctica, too.
Okay, are you spelling it two words or one word, sir?
It's one word, McDonald. It might also be known as Heard Island. There are two islands, Heard and McDonald Island. Searching for McDonald Island.
Okay, that's just what I heard. Hold on, please.
Okay. Is it possible to connect to an operator over there and ask them?
They ask her, just hold on.
Okay.
Okay, I have here Heron Island.
Actually, it's Heard.
H-A-R, what did you say, H-A-R?
H-E-A-R-D, heard, as in I heard you say that.
Okay, the only thing I have here is Heron and then island.
No, that's not it, that's different.
I don't have anything that's... let me go to the operator in Australia. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. Wonder if we'll hear this. Uh-oh.
Okay, just one moment.
Okay. Searching for a country code here. Ah.
Thank you for calling Telecom Australia. Can I help you?
Yes, operator. This is AT&T in New York. Do you have an area code for McDonald Island?
McDonald Island. Do you know where it is, where it would be, what area?
Yes, it's near Antarctica.
Ah, right. Okay. Oh, yes, okay. Hold on.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Hello, everybody. It's Charles from Terry Cooper at training. Go ahead. Oh,
Okay, we want McDonald Island, don't we?
Right.
Must be a pretty small place, eh?
It is, yes. It's just, to find the, Donald Island.
But have you heard of it?
Not actually, sir, but, I had fun and games with Antarctica yesterday. Not getting McDonald's, though.
Really?
Hmm.
So I'm showing in my atlas that Australia owns this island.
Yeah. See, you don't know what base is on the island, do you? See, it's... I'm getting Antarctica, but under the, we've got to have a base name to be able to find it. You don't know what...
Well, it's not Antarctica I'm looking for. It's McDonald Island, which is... it's
Island,
it's
yeah.
Nearer Antarctica. It might also be known as Heard Island, H-E-A-R-D. That's actually two different islands, but...
Yeah, okay, I'm going to try it under Heard. Hold on. Let's see if I can find out from the supervisor. Just hold
okay.
on. Okay. Maureen? Have we got anything from McDonald Island in the Antarctica? Or it could be Heard Island. Hmm. Yeah, but they're the base stations. I know I had problems yesterday about that, but apparently it's... yeah, it's owned by Australia, McDonald Island. In Antarctica. What a gauge.
Okay,
yeah, that's Macquarie Station. Yeah, yeah. I had that yesterday.
Yeah,
but this is, yeah, this is McDonald Island itself. Hmm. Oh, it could be known as Heard. Yeah.
I'm sorry to cause so much confusion.
That's all right. That's all right. So I'm getting a area code for Macquarie Base in the Antarctica, but nothing under McDonald Island. Supervisor's just going to find out for us.
Okay.
One moment, so they're trying.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
How many operators are online right now?
Two. One in New York and one in Australia.
H-U-R-D Heard, is it?
No, it's H-E-A-R-D.
H-E-A-R-D.
Hang on.
Siri code. 14. I haven't got any 14, but I call 1 on their mobile cell phone. Oh no, what's the number they want to call in Australia? Now where is it in Australia? In Sydney or Melbourne or where?
Can I ask what time it is over there?
Yes, sir, in New South Wales in Australia, it's 20 to 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Oh, so it's tomorrow afternoon already?
Right.
Yes, it is, yes.
It's still last night over here.
Yeah, what is it there?
It's about 20 to 11 at night.
Okay.
Operator, do you think we should try international directory?
I don't really think it's going to help. Because we should have it. The only thing we've got under Antarctica, though, is all the base stations. We haven't got anything under any separate islands.
So you're not calling to a base or anything, right?
No, it's an island.
But I mean, are you calling to a private home, a business, what?
Well, I don't have a number yet. I was just hoping to get the country code, so I would be calling a private home, though.
A private home on McDonald Island, is it really?
I thought so. I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking at the map, and I do see McDonald Island on the map, and it says Australia in parentheses.
All right, okay. And it's right down in Antarctica.
Oh, well, I haven't tried Antarctica, but I don't think it's part of Antarctica.
Yeah, okay, just hold on.
They're really putting a lot of effort into this, aren't they?
Okay. Hold the line.
Yeah, okay.
Operator will be with you shortly. Please hold the line. An operator will be with you shortly. Please hold the line. An operator will be with you shortly. Please hold the line. An operator will be with you shortly. Please hold the line. An operator will be with you shortly.
Well, we're not going to spend any more time on that. We're going to pass the phone on to somebody else, and if they get an answer, we'll pass it on. But, you know, I don't think they will. I don't think they will. If you get a code, let me know. But I kind of doubt it. I do take it back, though. AT&T was very helpful in that case. But I'll tell you, we were trying a whole lot of countries over the past few days, countries that are very tiny or you never heard of them before. And I guess when you call many times in an hour, you get a full range of different operators. And some of them, if they can't find it in their console, will immediately disconnect you and will be very sarcastic. We did not get one in this particular case. We got a very helpful person who actually transferred us overseas, which is what the Sprint and MCI people did on every occasion. So rather than go through all that, I'll leave it at this, except to say that McDonald Island is uninhabited. And in fact, it's a volcano. But it is owned by Australia, and I was speaking the truth there, and they have an internet domain of HM. It's all true. All right, enough of that. Sorry for all the time we spent on that, but I imagine quite a few people out there got a kick out of hearing some Australian operators busy at work. At one point, I heard someone pick up and say emergency line after some sort of weird ring out there. I'm going to listen back to a tape and see what that was all about. Used to be you could do that kind of thing all the time. You could connect overseas to international operators and learn all kinds of neat things. But these days it's a rare exception. Okay, we have some information on Metro cards, right? You have something for us? Okay, we have some scientific experimentation that's been going on over the past few days. And Walter is here.
Hi.
How you doing? Now you you have you've been diligently working in a laboratory.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to defeat the MetroCard system single-handedly.
Yeah, we've got this whole lab dedicated to it.
Uh-huh. Well, it's more like an entire building, actually, but there's no need to let everybody know that.
We've got a grant from the NSF, and the work is progressing, but we still haven't gotten anything.
Okay.
There are two things I think are important, and there are basically two theories about how the information was encoded. Some people thought it may actually be a magnetic stripe, though we couldn't demagnetize it. Some people thought maybe that stripe was hiding a barcode or something like that, and... basically, what I did, I took a helium neon laser, which is the type of laser which is used to read barcodes, for instance, in a supermarket. And
where did you get a helium neon laser?
I actually have one at home.
Okay. You're a very strange person.
Well, one of my hobbies is holography, and that's what I use it for. But I just happen to have one at home. It's an 8 milliwatt laser, which is a fairly powerful laser, one that's more powerful than you'd see in a supermarket. But basically, I tried to see whether... there was anything under that strip, anything that the laser would pick up that you couldn't see by holding it up to bright light. And basically, none of the laser light actually penetrates the card, and there's nothing I saw that gave me any indication that there was any information encoded that way on the card. The laser, this is a fairly powerful laser. I didn't see anything actually go through the card.
Okay.
And there was nothing on the surface from looking at the reflection of the beam that I could see, you know, in terms of a barcode being underneath or anything. And another thing I tried, since you really don't see a light beam when you pass the card through the reader. So the next thing I tried was infrared light, and I had an infrared diode, and I wanted to see whether... that could be transmitted through the card, you know, for instance, to pick up a barcode. And that wasn't transmitted either. So as far as the theories about there being a barcode or some kind of information which is read by light on the card, I think that theory is probably going to end up being wrong. And I'm thinking maybe now... it's some kind of high coercivity magnetic material, as other people suggested at Hope. My current project is one of the things about the magnetic stripe theory is that we couldn't erase it here with a bulk tape eraser, and I tried repeatedly today to erase it again because I figured maybe there's some configuration of the fields that I have to get. But the bulk tape eraser didn't work no matter how hard I tried. Another thing I'm going to try, maybe if it's a really high coercivity material, which means it takes a large magnetic field to demagnetize it or magnetize it, I'm going to try passing a very powerful samarium cobalt magnet I have over it to see if I can erase it that way. But so basically, I'm pretty sure it's not a barcode or anything else that's read with light.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to be trying some things with the magnetic end of it.
How hard do you think it'll be to duplicate that?
To duplicate it?
Once we find out exactly what it is.
Well, once we find out, if it's a magnetic scheme, it probably won't be that difficult to duplicate. But you might need a special reader writer, which is non-standard.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it can be fabricated somehow. Eventually.
Okay. Well, thanks for stopping in and updating us on that. If anybody has details, please write to us here at WBAI or call us up and let us know that way. Okay, it's one of our ongoing projects, started at Hope and is going on to hopefully figure out the whole system and see if it's secure or not. We're learning a little bit more every week. Okay, speaking of learning, that's what this program is all about. We spend time learning about all kinds of different things week after week. Some of it gets us somewhere, some of it doesn't. But that's what the learning process is all about. And that's what WBAI is all about. That's why we ask you to help support us here in our time of need. And this is our autumn time of need. That's right. Three times a year we are in need, and this is one of them. And this is the last program of Off the Hook you'll hear during the autumn fun drive, so this is the time to call up and show your support for Off the Hook. Now, last week we offered this book, Secrets of a Super Hacker, which I'm holding in front of me here. And we got rid of a lot of them, but we have six left, only six. And any pledge of $75 or more, you will get a copy of this book, Secrets of a Super Hacker, brand new, published in 1994, along with a Lumpanix guide, a catalog, which has thousands of titles in it, and, of course, the WBAI program guide for an entire year. 212-279-3400. Take advantage of the last remaining copies of this book and show your support for Off the Hook, show your support for WBAI, show your support for freedom of speech, because that's something that is dying out. It really is. I want you to listen to part of this article which appeared in the New York Times. Concerns this guy, part of the Superhighway Patrol. Now, there's all kinds of people like this that are out there that want to regulate, that want to control, that want to put a stop on freedom of speech here. And Sergeant Jim McMahon is one of these people. He's an 18-and-a-half-year veteran of the San Jose, California Police Department. He heads a four-person high-tech crime unit responsible for investigating computer crimes in the heart of Silicon Valley. The unit investigates thefts of computer components and trade secrets, hackers and crackers, cellular phone fraud, distribution of pornography over electronic networks, even murder. I don't know how they do that, but they fit that in, too. One thing he does come up with a good answer for, why don't you disclose where or when... What would you advise? Did we get a country code? Okay, we didn't. We totally wasted operators' time in many different countries. Yes?
I'd just like to say something about the pathetic incompetence of these operators and this insane restrictions which they have. Not only were they unable to do anything in the 15 minutes that we were on the phone with them, but also they had to hang up the trunk line and then call Australia back because of some insane restriction where they can't be on the phone. So all progress that we made in that 15 minutes was completely destroyed.
Really?
And had to start over from scratch. I just got bored of it and told them, thank you very much, they were useless. So
some sort of a restriction on hanging onto lines.
I have
no
idea.
That's something we'll have to look into. Did we get connected back to the same people again, or did we have to start from scratch?
No, we didn't get the same people. We got different people who didn't know anything.
That's too bad. Well, we've had the opportunity to waste even more people's time, but there's a time when you have to cut off these things. And it used to be you could do this. You could stay on the phone for a long period of time, and I know they don't like to do that, but sometimes you really need to find something out, you know, and it's good to have someone there who will help you. But, yeah, it's interesting. I thought they were nice operators, though, for the most part. The people were pretty helpful. Anyway, to get back to this guy here, Jim McMahon, his big thing is child pornography on the net. I mean, that's like what the Internet is becoming known for, because people like Dateline NBC and Geraldo focus on that and bomb-making people. And of course, that's all you can use computers for, is distributing bomb-making material and child pornography. Anyway, he advises this. I would no more drop my kid off on the Internet than I would drop my kid off at midnight in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco. How's that for an analogy? In my home, if children are logging on to an outside network, either my wife or I are right there next to them. What a comforting thought that is. We guide them as to what they watch on TV, what books they read. This is no different. I see a lot of parents abdicating this responsibility. They think their kid is safe. It couldn't be farther from the truth. Well, needless to say, it goes on from this. How well equipped are laws to deal with the computer age? Well, the laws we're dealing with are from 500 years of tort law about whose chicken is whose, but we're talking about the ones and zeros in a place called cyberspace. You're not seeing a lot of personal agony, but you're just as ripped off if somebody steals $20,000 electronically as you would be if somebody stuck a gun to your head. You know, I don't think so. I don't think so, because all someone has to do to steal $20,000 in this person's definition is copy WordPerfect a few times, whereas you put a gun to somebody's head, it's a bit more traumatic even if no theft is involved. So I think it's really kind of dangerous to make that assumption. So that's what we're dealing with here, and that's what we're asking you to help fight by calling 212-279-3400, strike a chord for freedom of speech, because that's what we're all about. We're about getting the word out and showing people what's out there, demonstrating things live for you on the radio. 212-279-3400. Remember, everybody who calls in will get a free copy of the Lumpanix catalog sent to them. And everybody who calls in with a $75 pledge
will get a free copy of Secrets of a Super Hacker, written by The Nightmare. Here's a little excerpt from it. Hacker Security, How to Keep from Getting Caught. Hacking is fun. Hell, it's exhilarating. But it's also illegal, sometimes immoral, and usually punishable. Even if what you're doing is perfectly innocent, you'll be hard-pressed to find an acceptable excuse for it in court. The very least that might happen is the security holes you utilize the first time around might get patched up. More serious punishments inflicted by the courts can include community service, fines, and even prison, as we've seen with the case of Fiber Optic. Informal punishments include the unofficial destruction of your equipment by law enforcement officers and being blacklisted from tech-related jobs. Consequently, the prudent hacker has two goals in mind while hacking. Number one, don't get caught. Number two, if you do get caught, don't make it count. This chapter will present strategies the careful hacker will follow to ensure both situations are true. This is good reading material to have. Whether or not you agree with it, there are some things in here I would take exception to, some things that I would think are very good advice. It's a good book to have, a good handbook, a good period piece, if you will, for those of you interested in the world of hacking. This is kind of a guide to it all, what has been discovered, how you can discover more things, social engineering, default passwords, interesting phone numbers, the moral philosophies of hackers, hacker ethic, borderline hacking, the history of hacking, reverse social engineering, all that kind of thing. 212-279-3400. Show your support for this radio station and for Off the Hook. Pledge of $75, you'll get this book sent to you. And you'll learn all kinds of neat things. You'll learn all kinds of things in addition to what you learn on this radio program. If you have learned something on this radio program, please show your support now so we can continue to bring you new things in the future. We have some things in store for you that, they kind of make everything we've done up till now shrink by comparison. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to make things seem better than they are. We've got one project we're working on, which we'll probably have something in 2 weeks that threatens to be a scandal of sorts that we've never had before. And the reason we can do this is because, well, we can spend time on the phone, sometimes wasting operators' time, but other times we get some information that we're not supposed to get. We're really not supposed to get it, but it's information that concerns us and concerns you. That's sort of what hacking is all about. It's getting into places that you're really not supposed to get into and telling people what you find once you get in there, because everyone's kind of curious as to what's being kept on them. We all have files on us, and a lot of us don't realize this. A lot of us have never given permission for our names to be put on file. The phone companies, they want our Social Security numbers now. You know, that's not right. What do they need our Social Security numbers for? So they can access our bank accounts and see how much money we have? Everything is being tied together. Everything is being united and brought into one particular format of files and databases. It's a very scary thing. It's a very scary thing to have. Please give us a call, 212-279-3400. Okay, we have Fiber Optic, who has just contacted us. Fiber, are you there?
I made it. I was worried I was going to miss it completely.
Well, I was worried you ran out of money.
Oh, no.
You got money now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay, that's nice to know, because I had heard that you ran out, or were about to run out. Okay, so our little money order came in okay, right?
Oh, yeah.
Great. Thanks. We're on for 2 hours again tonight.
What's that?
We're on for 2 hours again tonight, so you do have more than 5 minutes.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so I'll tell you, last week's show really left me feeling depressed because we heard from all these different people in prison, and it was a very sobering thought there, thinking of these people being locked away for various infractions such as, you know, writing checks in the wrong way or
mundane things that people don't even think about.
Yeah, I mean, using ecstasy or something, or selling ecstasy or various things like that that, you know, while they may be illegal, do you really want to lock somebody up for a number of years and keep them out of society and really destroy their lives and the lives of all the people that know these people? It's you know, we never really thought about this before, not quite like this. And having you involved now, it sort of opens us up to a whole other world that we were kind of unaware of. What's new with you? What's been happening over the last week?
Let me think. Well, to tell you the truth, it's been pretty uneventful. But just to give people a little taste of everyday privacy, tonight we had what's known as a bed book count. And if anyone's unaware, periodically during the day, every few hours or so, there's a count, a head count. And the only time that it's really an official count is at 4:15, where we have to actually be in our cubes, standing up, and it's like the main count of the day or something that I guess gets reported to Washington or something or other. But there's other census counts and things at other points during the day. And every night there's a 9 o'clock count. Well, it just so happens that they decided that they were going to make tonight's 9 o'clock count a bed book count, which is sort of like something that they do, I guess, just every so often, you know, like as a drill maybe, you know, like a surprise count or something. And they call it a bed book count because they actually get out the roll books with that have everyone's picture, everyone's mugshot, and number and name and all that business. And they make everybody line up in their cube, and they go around, and they tell you to say your name and your number. But the ironic thing that's really, really stupid is that in everyone's cube, at the opening of the cube, there's two name tags. And the two name tags say both people's name and serial number. So, you know, like, what's the point of saying your name and number when you could have just read it off the wall?
I guess. It seems kind of strange. What is the point of this?
The point of this is kind of like, I guess they like catch people off guard or something. I don't know. If somebody was thinking of escaping or leaving or whatever. I don't really completely understand the logic behind it.
Well, you've been hard-pressed to figure out the logic behind a lot of things.
I've pretty much given up trying to figure out the logic.
Yeah. So I guess nothing else really has happened this week, has it?
No, no. That was probably the most exciting thing because I just happened to be in the shower.
Uh-huh.
And they came in, called the bed book count, and I had to interrupt my shower prematurely.
Uh-huh.
And walk out sopping wet and
uh-huh.
You know, read off my name and registration number, and then go back to the shower.
Do these counts ever go wrong? Do they ever?
Time. And we joke about it all the time. These people are incapable of counting.
Are you sure you should be saying things like that over the phone about your captors there?
Well, it's the truth. I mean, it's ridiculous to even think about. But, you know, they have trouble counting heads.
Well, it's, you know, when I was there visiting you last time, they were counting us. They were counting visitors, too. I don't know quite why they were doing that.
Really?
Yeah, they were counting everything in sight, in fact.
Yeah.
Chairs, light fixtures, you name it. I guess they were practicing. Boy, that's something. So, what are we down to, 8 weeks now?
Just about, yeah. It's just, it's going to be, what's today's date, the 21st?
21st.
Yeah, it'll be 2 months tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
I get out November 22nd.
Okay. And as you said last week, your first radio show will be November 23rd. Right?
That's right.
Okay, so that's something to look forward to. Well, as you know, we're in the middle of one of our fundraisers again. And sorry to have to subject you to this. Sorry to have to subject everybody to this, actually, but it's necessary. You know, it's something that we have to do to survive here so that we can keep bringing you news and information. One of the biggest bits of news information over the last year, of course, has been Mark's case. You know, we've been doing this for a long time, haven't we? How long has this case been happening for?
Like all the legal stuff combined?
Yeah.
The past 4 years.
4 years. So pretty much that whole time we've been updating people as to what's been going on, and I guess everyone listening who's been listening for that long period of time has kind of lived it out too, although you're the person that has to really suffer. We're all aware and we all kind of feel the pain when bad things happen like this. So that's something to consider. Those of you out there that have not yet called us to support the radio station, that's something that is valuable, being able to follow something like this, being able to learn and experience it. I mean, Mark, it probably would have made a big difference if people weren't able to hear about what was going on, right?
Yeah. I just want to take a moment also to thank a lot of the people that are listeners that have been writing me and making donations. I really appreciate it a lot.
Mm-hmm. It does make a big difference knowing people are out there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you know, I kind of wish we didn't have to do this now because, you know, even though we have to ask for money, what you're going through is by far worse than what we're going through here. We simply need to, you know, to raise funds to keep operating, but you need to hear from people just to know that there's an outside world.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, Again, I wish we didn't have to do this now, but it is necessary. So again, the phone number is 212-279-3400. I don't know if there are any left, any books, Secrets of a Super Hacker, left, but if there are, I better call soon. $75 pledge will get you that. Everybody who calls in and pledges any amount will get the Loom Panics catalog, which is something that people fight over. Yes, the last 2600 meeting, we had injuries from people diving for the box that had the Loom Panics catalogs in it. We had a bunch left over from Hope, and we were giving them away. So you can avoid injury and call in now, 212-279-3400, and make a pledge and show your support. We're up to $525 for the show, and we kind of like to hit 1,000 before we're out of here tonight, which is in another hour. So please, if you're out there, give us a call, 212-279-3400. And if we see the phone lines light up, we won't have to beg as much, and we can talk to Mark more, because Mark is paying for this as we speak to him. Do you ever figure out what the minute rate is?
Yeah, it's roughly about 23 cents a minute, I think.
23 cents a minute, and that's that doesn't go down at night?
No, no, there are absolutely no discounts whatsoever. It varies depending where we call, but if I remember, I think it was about 23 cents to New York City.
Wow. So that's one way they're ripping off prisoners and their families. And
making here.
Yeah. And, of course, they force you to buy certain other things at inflated prices, too, right?
Yeah, certain things. Other things are worth the price,
mm-hmm.
you know, then there's things that aren't.
Yeah. Wow. So I guess I'm not sure if there's anything else that I can really think to ask. Anything else you want to pass along to people, messages?
Oh, yeah, I just remembered there were a couple of interesting things that
okay.
did happen this past week. That
again, we have two calls on the line. Thank you very much. 212-279-3400. Please add to those calls. Yes, Mark.
On Monday, I did an interview with Details Magazine.
Okay.
And it was fun. It's always fun when somebody from the outside comes up. And it's not, you know, a pre-rehearsed visit.
Right. Well, the thing with press people, and if there are press people out there, you can get clearance to visit the prison during the week. The rest of us can only visit on the weekends, and, of course, we have to be approved through a lengthy process. But press people can get special clearance, and I guess you're really one of the few people over there that gets interviewed in the first place, right? It really kind of brightens your week.
Yeah, well, right now I'm the only person I know of that's been doing interviews lately.
Uh-huh.
Months ago there was a local politician who was here.
Uh-huh. But did that make things any better, having a local politician there?
Not particularly, no.
Uh-huh. Four calls on the line. This is great. Three more to a bingo. 212-279-3400. You were telling us.
Yeah. The interview was lots of fun. Interviews usually are, but this particular one was fun because I really got the impression that the person was understanding what I was talking about, which isn't always the case. Lots of times, press people just don't get it. They just don't understand the issues.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we certainly had our share of that. Lots of press people don't seem to understand things. Witness the Philadelphia Free Press, was it?
Oh, no, Philadelphia City Paper.
City Paper, I'm sorry. I have mixed up with something else. Yeah, the City Paper. Boy, what a number they did on you.
Yeah.
And CNN, of course, they did a pretty lousy job
yeah.
with that science report. But then we have some good pieces, like the Daily News piece wasn't bad.
Oh, definitely.
So we can hope that other things will be happening in the future. We say this virtually every time, but bears repeating, but some of the things you're looking forward to, some of the things that we might take for granted out here in the real world. I know food is one of them.
just spending time with friends.
Yeah.
Having real privacy. There's absolutely no privacy here whatsoever.
Uh-huh. Can't just go for a walk in the woods or something.
Well, if you do, you can't go very far. And if you do go very far, it's called escaping.
Now, I mean, escaping is, do you have to jump over a fence or do you just walk past the boundary?
There's no fences here. It'd be considered walking off, but it's still escaping.
Uh-huh. Has anybody ever walked off?
Oh, yeah. Since I've been here, a number of people have left.
But they've always been brought back?
No, actually... I'm thinking back now. There's three people that I can remember that have escaped, and one was fairly recent, and I think the word was that he self-surrendered or something, turned himself in. But there was one last winter, which I think one of the people went back. They were an illegal alien. I think they went back to their country on their own or something to that effect.
You mean they walked out of the prison and went all the way to their country?
Well, I don't think they walked there.
Well, no, but it just seems kind of amazing that they would actually be able to get that far.
Yeah.
I mean, I have enough trouble getting into this country, and I live here. Imagine someone being able to leave this country being a prisoner.
Well, you know, then again, if it's true, if it's to be believed.
Yeah, I mean, how do you find out? Who's going to
really
tell you?
You don't know. You're just relying on what other people say. All you know for sure is that they did leave.
Are there lots of rumors going around all the time?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Like, what's the craziest rumor you've heard that turned out to be unfounded?
Well, when you say the word crazy, it's hard to relate because to an outsider, everything would probably seem crazy.
That's certainly true.
So when you say crazy, nothing particularly comes to mind.
Well, do you get rumors about the outside world, about things going on here, like, you know, the United States is now a communist dictatorship or things like that?
Well, it's funny. I mentioned something to that effect today when we heard that... I don't know if this is true or not, but is it true that we invaded Haiti or something or other?
Okay, I can fill you in there. Actually, I guess I'm filling in the whole prison here. We sort of invaded Haiti, but the military leaders agreed to step down, so we're sort of coming in as honored guests, and we're kind of occupying the whole nation, but we're not shooting anybody, but we're warning them to behave themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess Clinton, well, former President Carter, and Sam Nunn and Colin Powell all went over to Haiti and arranged this last minute. Negotiation where the generals can actually stay on the island, but they really should leave if they know it's good for them.
I see.
And Aristide is not too pleased with the settlement, but he did say thanks today. That's really all I know.
Well, that's more than we knew.
Okay. Well, don't you guys get TV over there?
Oh, yeah, sure, but I think I talked to probably the one person that watches the news,
uh-huh.
At least when he gets a chance.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's very few people watch the news, and it's really difficult to see any normal television because most of the time the only thing that you see is a movie on HBO or sports.
Mm-hmm.
Are really the only two things that anyone watches.
Escapist fare. I guess that's what people need in prisons.
What's that?
Escapist fare. No pun intended, but that's that's what people, I guess, like to watch, right? Things to get them miles away from where they currently are, and
yeah, I guess so.
Watching the news probably would be depressing.
So when I heard today that something to the effect that we invaded Haiti, I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Yeah, 2 days ago."
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been there for about 2 days now.
Yeah. Oh, that was the magic click.
Oh, we didn't hear it. Okay, are you gonna be able to call back?
Not immediately, but I will wait around.
Okay. Again, 212-279-3400. Mark, maybe coming from you, it'll carry more weight.
212-279-3400.
Well, yeah, but say something like tell people to call. I don't know.
Before I get cut off.
Yeah, call before I get cut off.
Yeah, call before I get cut off. There you go.
Wait, we can make this dramatic, all right? Speak and tell people to call in as you get cut off, and we'll say that it could happen to BAI if they don't call in.
Okay. We have to time this just right. Try to call before I get cut off.
Oh. Okay. Bravo. He didn't plan that. That really happened. Yes, we could get cut off exactly the same way, but no, not quite. Not to make a serious situation comical, although it's good to make a serious situation comical, I suppose. 212-279-3400, show your support for WBAI. Remember, not many other radio stations bring you this kind of thing. Not many other radio stations care. I mean, last week we had, what was it, two other prisoners get on the phone from where Mark is staying and tell their story. No one ever really listened before. No one ever really cared enough to ask what their story was. And here we are broadcasting it to all of Manhattan, New Jersey, Connecticut, Long Island, all those places. So if you got something out of that, please show your support. Keep this radio station going. 212-279-3400 is our phone number. I'm going to find out if there's any more of those books left. But anyone who calls in will get the Lumpanics catalog, which is a guide to all kinds of alternative thought and creative things, and you'll just be supporting the radio station, keeping programs like Off the Hook on the air. 212-279-3400. We'll be right back. Yes, we love to steal your money. I guess that's probably not the best song to play during a pledge drive, but that's the Clash with Robber Dub, the unedited version from Super Black Market Clash. And yes, we do need your money, but we're certainly not going to steal it. We're going to use it. We're going to use it to make things work around here and get people to do quality radio programs, get the information out there. Let me just ask a favor, though, for those of you out there that are calling. Please don't call the bottom lines, because those are the lines that Mark calls in on, and there's no way for him to get through if they're tied up. So we're not taking phone calls this week, because we have to use those lines, which he comes in on. So please be calling on those lines. Hang up now because we're not going to be taking those calls, and it's only going to tie up the lines, the incoming lines. Thank you very much. Let's see, next week we won't be on, but the week after that is when we'll be on, and we'll have a regular normal show where we take phone calls, and we have a major scandal that we're going to be releasing to people, as we always do. But this one is a really big one. Take my word for it. That's in 2 weeks, coming up on Off the Hook from 10 to 11. You'll notice that it's after 11 o'clock now. We're still on the air. Why is that? Well, it's because it's a special week. It's fundraising, and we're on for 2 hours. We're on until midnight because we know there's people out there that care enough to call us up. So we're on for an extended, long period of time. So even though we're begging for money, even though we're bearing our souls here, we still are bringing you more than we usually do because we're on twice the amount of time, you know? It's not fun. I got to tell you, it's not fun begging for money. I mean, have you ever had to beg for money? Have you ever had to sit out on the street and ask people passing by for money? You know, it's a totally different thing, obviously, having to beg for money to live. But in the world of radio, WBAI is the radio station that's out there on the street asking you if you can spare any change, because that's exactly, there are those of you out there, you're on your way to what, K-Rock, you're on your way to Q104, to Light FM and to Country 103 and all those crazy places. Great, all right, but you're passing us by on the way, all right, and stop for a few minutes, say hello to us, listen to what we have to say, because there's something to learn. There's something to learn from the voices you hear on this radio station, and without support, this radio station will fade, and you'll be losing a very important voice. We're lucky to have a voice like this in the city, and we need to hear from people like you. 212-279-3400. We're out there. We don't take commercials, and we don't take corporate monies of any sort, and we don't allow ourselves to be dissuaded by corporate arguments. I mean, imagine what we did before with AT&T. Yeah, we wasted a lot of their time, and sometimes that happens. But imagine if AT&T was one of our sponsors. Imagine if NYNEX was one of our sponsors. The things we were saying about them before, whew. I mean, we were really getting pretty nasty there, but these are things that people need to say. They need to vent. They need to be able to speak their minds and share their experiences. And sometimes there'll be disagreements. People will say, well, that's not right, and they'll even prove that it's not right. But sometimes it will be right. Either way, the dialogue is what's important. The fact that we're out there, we're speaking these things. You know, you can listen to WBAI over a 24-hour period, and I guarantee you there'll be something that will make you want to never listen to it again. Because people violently disagree with things they hear on the air. People don't like certain kinds of programming. But at the same time, there will be things that you will hear that will make you think in a way you would never have thought ordinarily. And no other radio station in this city can bring you things like that in the same way. I mean, we don't play all the hits. We don't play, music and commercial things, repetitive things that are heard all the time. We don't do that kind of thing. You know, there's people calling on those lines again. I asked nicely before, please don't call those lines, because then Mark cannot get through. So please don't call the bottom lines. All right, I'll give you the number not to call, all right, in case you don't know you're calling that number. Please don't call 212-279-3407, because if you call that line, you're tying up the lines that Mark can come in on. So please, if you're calling those lines now, hang up. Okay. One person has hung up. Thank you for those of you that have hung up. Two more people need to hang up. I can't believe I'm saying it this way, but it's true. Two more people need to hang up on those lines so Mark can get through. Otherwise, you're kind of silencing a voice there, and that's not a good thing to do. If you want to do something good, please call 212-279-3400. That's our pledge line. That's the line that we need to hear from you on to show support for the radio station and to keep things going as best we can. I think the books are gone. But if you call in, 212-279-3400, there are all kinds of other things that we're offering. The list is too big for me to go through it now, but if you ask some of our volunteers down there, I'm sure they'll be happy to help you. We're up to $745. We do need to break 1,000, so we need a few more callers to call in. 212-279-3400. You can be one of these callers. Please give us a call. 212-279-3400. Still have one person that's not hanging up, you know, it's kind of annoying. Please hang up that line. That's basically you'll rob us of the opportunity to hear Mark, and that's not good. Okay. We have a letter here, and let's see. This is to Off the Hook. Having just moved here from Philadelphia, I've only heard your show once, but I'd like to say that so far it's the most interesting and enjoyable program I've heard on New York radio, followed closely by Shocking Blue. I must say that I was also shocked when I found out 2 weeks ago that 9X operators would not put through certain 800 numbers. Maybe the plan is to gradually cut New York off from the rest of the world. I was slightly less shocked about the runaround I got 3 weeks ago when trying to procure a refund for a long-distance call that never went through. I never got it. Old story. It's amazing how the phone company works you New Yorkers to no end and gets away with it. Okay, we have Mark back. Mark, you there?
Yeah, unfortunately, they're going to be closing this building soon.
Oh, it's the closing building time again.
Yeah, but I should be able to call back from our unit like I did last time.
Okay, how much time do you have?
Roughly until about 11:30, which is only a few minutes.
Okay. I'm reading a letter here. I'm almost finished with it, so let me get through this letter.
Okay.
I would like to thank you very much for the trip through the Southwestern Bell Company's automated phone system. You would have gotten a kick out of that, Mark.
Yeah.
It was quite intriguing and had by far the most realistic voice simulation I've ever heard. Although it was quite interesting, I agree that it was somewhat spooky to hear the availability of the various playback parameter controls that we can look forward to in the future. I suppose we can expect a standard playback speed of 8 that only computers and geniuses of the superhighway will be able to interpret. Of course, the rest of us will be left by the wayside without a clue. This is referring to something we did with the Rome phone mail system, where we sped up the playback functioning so that you could barely understand what they were saying. They were speaking so fast. You know, speaking like binaries?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a point of reference I'm sure a lot of people will get. Of course, the spookiest thing about dealing with that particular automated system was that you inadvertently refer to the computer voice as the lady not once but twice. In closing, I'd like to say I'm now absolutely sure I will come out to volunteer for the WBAI membership drive. I think that you are the most informative and for the public station I've ever heard. And since I don't have any money, I'll have to give you me. Well, signed DJ David Calton, and he's here right now. Say hi to the folks.
Hello, folks. How are you?
And you came here from Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
And we don't have stations like this in Philadelphia, do we?
No, not at all. Nothing that is totally listener supported at all. I suppose there's only 5 of these stations around the country. Or?
Well, there's 5 Pacifica-owned stations, but there's lots of community stations throughout the nation of various sorts. But this is the only real network of this sort that exists, and we're one of the 5 flagship stations. So David has come out here to volunteer support, and we hope that those of you out there can call in and volunteer whatever you can volunteer financially to keep us going. Every little bit counts. Anything you want to say to the people out there to encourage them to call in?
If you find this program as interesting and as necessary as I do, then by all means, please call up area code 212-279-3400 and pledge whatever you can, and we most definitely appreciate it.
Okay, up to $770. We want to break 1,000. And we have 35 minutes left to do it. 212-279-3400. It's going to take a few more calls to do that. We have no calls on the line right now, so please change that. Help us get someplace. 212-279-3400. Remember, I'm not sure if we have any books left. I need to hear from Telegram if we have any of those books left. Otherwise, call in whatever you can afford. That's what it boils down to. Okay, let's go back to Mark.
Hi.
Still there? I haven't kicked you out of the building yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, what building are you in right now? You're in
the administrative building.
That's the one where people visit you in, right?
Yeah. This is the one that we eat in and where the recreation room is in.
All the parties take place there, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Not exactly.
Oh, come on, you guys with your tennis courts and golf clubs.
We're really living it up with that.
Yeah, we've heard the stories.
Sure.
I wish more people could visit. You know, it's too bad they have this policy where you have to be on a list. But if more people could see what this place was like, you know, they would they wouldn't think the things that they hear in papers and, you know, about the luxurious lifestyle.
See, the problem is that it was like that to a degree at some of the places in the early 70s when people like G. Gordon Liddy went to prison camps, which were meant for white collar crimes and political people and things like that. But it hasn't been like that for over 20 years, and I wish people would wake up to that fact.
Well, we're doing a bit here to educate them. Hopefully they'll hear the message. Mark, let me ask you, have you heard of McDonald Island?
Where?
McDonald Island. Do you know where it is?
No.
Never heard of it, huh?
It doesn't ring a bell.
How about Heard Island? You ever heard of Heard Island?
Heard Island,
yeah.
No.
Well, neither has AT&T, because we spent about 20 minutes before trying to get the country code for them. Maybe you could explain this. Every country seems to have one of those internet domain
right.
things, and a lot of countries that don't have telephones or islands that don't have telephones also have them. For instance, Heard and McDonald Islands are a .hm. Now, why do you suppose that is?
Why they have an internet connection and not telephones?
Well, an internet domain assigned to them. I mean, do they actually expect internet connectivity from a place that has no people?
Well, you got me there. Have you tried looking up the domain in internet?
Internet didn't give us anything back, but yeah, we did try that. It's .hm. There's a lot of them. There's something called the British Indian Ocean Territory, which is .io, but there's no people there. I mean, a lot of these places are volcanoes, you know, volcanoes on an island.
That's funny.
In fact, one of the great things about internet is that you can get on and go through a system called Gopher. You've used it.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called the CIA database. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, is that from the CIA World Factbook?
Yeah, the CIA World Factbook. And you can basically type in any place, and you can type in the most remote island, and you'll get back a whole lot of information on it. And I should have done this from the beginning, because I typed in Heard Island and McDonald Island, and it gave me all these facts, you know, about the government and about the people. And because there are no people and there is no government, it just simply said that, you know, N.A. next to all that, 100% of the land is unusable. And they went into great detail about all the ways the land was not being used. And, of course, there are no telephones there, so I was able to find that out very quickly on the net. But before, we spent about 20 minutes with the operators, and they couldn't find any sign of it.
Well, guess what, Emmanuel? It's that magical time.
Sounds like sounds like some announcements going on there.
Actually, it's tons of people clearing out of the building.
Tons of people. Okay, so are you going to try to call us back?
Yes, I will.
Okay, great. 212-279-3400, and we'll talk to you a little bit later.
Okay.
All right. That's Fiber Optic from Prison. I'm told there are no more books left. No more books are left. So, well, we warned you. We warned you. But there's still plenty of things out there, and if you call in and just pledge anything, you'll get the Lumpanics catalog. And then you can order. You can order books like Secrets of a Super Hacker. You can order all kinds of other things. Like, you know, what they were talking about on Dateline NBC with the bomb-making capabilities. Now, you don't have to go out there and build bombs, but you can learn all kinds of interesting things. You can support alternative thinking, alternative press. That's what Lumpanics is all about. So if you believe in that kind of thing, give a call to 212-279-3400. We'd like to get a bunch more phone calls. Right now we have nothing on the line, and we certainly want to change that. I picked up a copy of TV Guide. You know, and I'm looking at all the different networks here. You know, every single network that is being presented to us as part of this whole information superhighway, because this is part of it too, you know. And you got all these channels, all these different channels. You know, you have your TBS, you have your USA, FX, ESPN. Discovery Channel, CNBC, C-SPAN. Actually, no, C-SPAN shouldn't be included in this because they're the closest thing to public access you can find. But, you know, they all seem to have the same basic mentality, you know, and that's the white middle class mentality that most sitcoms are based in. And there's no alternative thinking. You know, it's all kind of like the same car commercial lifestyle where everybody has the same set of values and there's no real difference in that. And you go through the radio, you see the same thing. You know, you see one commercial station and it's exactly the same as another commercial station. And you don't even have to be in the same city, you know. You take a commercial station from our city and then you go to somewhere in Texas or somewhere in Wisconsin and it'll be the exact same thing. Even the announcers will sound exactly the same. No localized accents or anything like that. Same basic values, same basic set of ideals and things like that. And that's what it's all about. That's what they do. They kind of make it mass appeal. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to polarize any one group. You want to appeal to as many people as you possibly can. And that's what broadcasting really is. You know, it's appealing to the broad masses. What we do here at WBAI is more like narrowcasting. Now, we don't narrowcast to one particular group of people. We narrowcast to lots of different groups of people at different times throughout the course of a day, throughout the course of a week. And that means that when you turn on the radio, sometimes you'll hear things that don't interest you. Sometimes you'll hear things that, you know, you simply won't move because you want to hear how it ends. You want to hear how the program finishes, because it's geared so much towards someone like you that you feel that it's been written just for your benefit. That's what we're asking you to support, that kind of thinking, that kind of alternative broadcasting. 212-279-3400. The difference is every single one of these networks that you see on cable television, every single one of these radio stations that you see on the FM and AM dials, they all have commercials. And commercials are basically a way of forcing you to pay for them. You don't have a choice, you know. You can't say, well, I'm going to buy this box of Oreos, but please, I don't want to pay for the advertising that went into it. Sorry, you don't have a choice. You wind up paying for their pitching. They just don't pitch in exactly the same way. In our case, we need support so that people can continue to listen to this radio station. And without that support, we can't be here. We'd be replaced. We'd be replaced in a second by another commercial radio station that would wind up sounding exactly the same. Oh, yeah, they'd play something different. They'd play, you know, 70s B-sides or something. No, they wouldn't even do that. They'd play something. All right, they wouldn't play country music. They'd play Western music. Yeah, there you go. So there's a slight difference there. But that's a very slight difference. Please show your support. 212-279-3400. Okay, Fiber Optic has walked all the way back to his building now, and he's there now.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. You're doing very well on the phones. I should point out something depressing. The whole time, when you hung up the phone,
yeah,
the whole time until you picked up this phone and called us in a building many, many feet away from your other building, I have been asking for money from our listeners and not one person's called. What do you think
of that? That's terrible.
That's shocking. That's embarrassing. I mean, I guess there's one scenario, and that's that people are so transfixed by what they're hearing that they don't dare move even the slightest bit to reach for a telephone to call us. The other scenario is that
$100 and pledge whatever you can, and we most definitely appreciate it.
Okay, up to $770. We want to break 1,000, and we have 35 minutes left to do it. 212-279-3400. It's going to take a few more calls to do that. We have no calls on the line right now, so please change that. Help us get someplace. 212-279-3400. Remember, I'm not sure if we have any books left. I need to hear from Tally Room if we have any of those books left. Otherwise, call in whatever you can afford. That's what it boils down to. Okay, let's go back to Mark.
Hi.
Still there? Haven't kicked you out of the building yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, what building are you in right now? You're in the
administrative building.
That's the one where people visit you in, right?
Yeah. This is the one that we eat in and where the recreation room is in.
All the parties take place there, right?
Yeah, right. Not exactly.
Oh, come on, you guys with your tennis courts and golf clubs. That's,
we're really living it up with it.
Yeah, we've heard the stories.
Sure.
I wish more people could visit. You know, it's too bad they have this policy where you have to be on a list. But if more people could see what this place was like, you know, they wouldn't think the things that they hear in papers and, you know, about the luxurious lifestyle.
See, the problem is that it was like that to a degree at some of the places in the early 70s when people like G. Gordon Liddy went to prison camps, which were meant for white collar crimes and political people and things like that. But it hasn't been like that for over 20 years, and I wish people would wake up to that fact.
Well, we're doing a bit here to educate them. Hopefully they'll hear the message. Mark, may I ask you, have you heard of McDonald Island?
Where?
McDonald Island. Do you know where it is?
No.
Never heard of it, huh?
It doesn't ring a bell.
How about Heard Island? You ever heard of Heard Island?
Heard Island,
yeah. Yeah. Well, neither has AT&T, because we spent about 20 minutes before trying to get the country code for them. Maybe you could explain this. Every country seems to have one of those internet domain things, and a lot of countries that don't have telephones or islands that don't have telephones also have them. For instance, Heard and McDonald Islands are .hm. Now, why do you suppose that is?
Why they have an internet connection and not telephones?
Well, an internet domain assigned to them. I mean, do they actually expect internet connectivity from a place that has no people?
Well, you got me there. Have you tried looking up the domain in Internet?
Internet didn't give us anything back, but yeah, we did try that. It's .hm. There's a lot of them. There's something called the British Indian Ocean Territory, which is .io, but there's no people there. I mean, a lot of these places are volcanoes, you know, volcanoes on an island.
That's funny.
In fact, one of the great things about Internet is that you can get on and go through a system called Gopher. You've used it.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called the CIA database. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, is that the CIA, from the CIA World Factbook?
Yeah, the CIA World Factbook. And you can basically type in any place, and you can type in the most remote island, and you'll get back a whole lot of information on it. And I should have done this from the beginning, because I typed in Heard Island and McDonald Island, and it gave me all these facts, you know, about the government and about the people. And because there are no people and there is no government, it just simply said that, you know, N.A. next to all that, 100% of the land is unusable. And they went into great detail about all the ways the land was not being used. And, of course, there are no telephones there. So I was able to find that out very quickly on the net. But before, we spent about 20 minutes with the operators, and they couldn't find any sign of it.
Well, guess what, Emmanuel? It's that magical time.
Sounds like sounds like some announcements going on there.
Actually, it's tons of people clearing out of the building.
Tons of people. Okay, so are you going to try to call us back?
Yes, I will.
Okay, great. 212-279-3400, and we'll talk to you a little bit later.
Okay.
All right. That's Fiber Optic from Prison. I'm told there are no more books left. No more books are left, so... Well, we warned you, but there's still plenty of things out there, and if you call in and just pledge anything, you'll get the Limpanics catalog, and then you can order books like Secrets of a Superhacker. You can order all kinds of other things, like, you know, what they were talking about on Dateline NBC with the bomb-making capabilities. Now, you don't have to go out there and build bombs, but you can learn all kinds of interesting things. You can support alternative thinking, alternative press. That's what Limpanics is all about. So if you believe in that kind of thing, give a call to 212-279-3400. We'd like to get a bunch more phone calls. Right now we have nothing on the line, and we certainly want to change that. I picked up a copy of TV Guide. You know, and I'm looking at all the different networks here. You know, every single network that is being presented to us as part of this whole information superhighway, because this is part of it too, you know. And you got all these channels, all these different channels. You know, you have your TBS, you have your USA, FX, ESPN, Discovery Channel, CNBC, C-SPAN. Actually, no, C-SPAN shouldn't be included in this, because they're the closest thing to public access you can find. But, you know, they all seem to have the same basic mentality, you know? And that's the white middle-class mentality that most sitcoms are based in. And there's no alternative thinking. You know, it's all kind of like the same car commercial lifestyle, where everybody has the same set of values and there's no real difference in that. And you go through the radio, you see the same thing. You know, you see one commercial station, and it's exactly the same as another commercial station. And you don't even have to be in the same city, you know. You take a commercial station from our city, and then you go to somewhere in Texas or somewhere in Wisconsin, and it'll be the exact same thing. Even the announcers will sound exactly the same. No localized accents or anything like that. Same basic values, same basic set of ideals and things like that. And that's what it's all about. That's what they do. They kind of make it mass appeal. You don't want to offend anybody. You don't want to polarize any one group. You want to appeal to as many people as you possibly can. And that's what broadcasting really is. You know, it's appealing to the broad masses. What we do here at WBAI is more like narrowcasting. Now, we don't narrowcast to one particular group of people. We narrowcast to lots of different groups of people at different times throughout the course of a day, throughout the course of a week. And that means that when you turn on the radio, sometimes you'll hear things that don't interest you. And sometimes you'll hear things that, you simply won't move because you want to hear how it ends. You want to hear how the program finishes, because it's geared so much towards someone like you that you feel it's been written just for your benefit. That's what we're asking you to support, that kind of thinking, that kind of alternative broadcasting. 212-279-3400. The difference is every single one of these networks that you see on cable television, every single one of these radio stations that you see on the FM and AM dials, they all have commercials. And commercials are basically a way of forcing you to pay for them. You don't have a choice, you know. You can't say, well, I'm going to buy this box of Oreos, but please, I don't want to pay for the advertising that went into it. Sorry, you don't have a choice. You wind up paying for their pitching. They just don't pitch in exactly the same way. In our case, we need support so that people can continue to listen to this radio station. And without that support, we can't be here. We'd be replaced. We'd be replaced in a second by another commercial radio station that would wind up sounding exactly the same. Oh, yeah, they'd play something different. They'd play, 70s B-sides or something. No, they wouldn't even do that. They'd play something. All right, they wouldn't play country music. They'd play Western music. Yeah, there you go. So there's a slight difference there. But that's a very slight difference. Please show your support. 212-279-3400. Okay, Fiber Optic has walked all the way back to his building now, and he's there now.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. You're doing very well on the phones. I should point out something depressing. The whole time, when you hung up the phone,
yeah,
the whole time until you picked up this phone and called us in a building many, many feet away from your other building, I have been asking for money from our listeners, and not one person has called. What do you think
of that? That's terrible.
That's shocking. That's embarrassing. I mean, I guess there's one scenario, and that's that people are so transfixed by what they're hearing that they don't dare move even the slightest bit to reach for a telephone to call us. The other scenario is that they just don't care.
Oh, I don't know if I'd go so far as to say they don't care.
Well, I don't know. It seems like, we're not getting a response here, and I'd like to see people show some support for the radio station, because this is our last program for this pitch drive. Pledge drive, pitch, whatever you want to call it. It's the last one, and believe me, it's not easy. It's not easy having to bare your soul like this. So please, maybe coming from you, Mark, it would mean a little bit more.
Well, if everyone could give just a little bit, so that what if there was no BAI? There would be no radio station for me to call. Being where I am.
You couldn't call K-Rock? They wouldn't put you on the radio?
I think it'd probably be kind of hard.
How about WQXR? You know, they could take a break from all the classical and put you on there, no?
Somehow I don't see it happening.
What about Hot 97?
I don't know. I don't think prison is really hip enough for them.
They could play music underneath you, you know, or I don't know. There's so many radio stations. Why is it nobody's interested? Why is it nobody cares to put alternative voices on? I mean, everybody I know is into alternative thought. You know, they're into reading crazy publications and alternative books, and they're leading alternative lifestyles of various sorts. So why is it? You know, I was just talking about this. I was reading through TV Guide of all things and noticing how all the networks are kind of geared towards the same people. You know, they all have sort of the same values. They all have the same car commercials and chewing gum commercials and all that kind of thing. And everyone's leading the same kind of lifestyle on TV, you know? But in real life, it's not like that. I don't know. Why do you suppose that is?
I'm clueless. I don't know.
Yeah. 212-279-3400. Please show your support for this bastion of free thought that comes to you right in the middle of the FM dial. You know, most non-commercial stations are kind of put into a ghetto of below 92. That way, you shove them all over there below 92, and people know not to venture below 92 unless they want to risk having their mind stimulated. Whereas we're right here in the middle, so that literally you can be on your way to, you know, to classic rock from NEW or whatever, you know, going from one boring rock station to another. And you could just sort of, you know, stop to rest while you're turning the dial and hit us. And there have been people that have done that, and they've never left. And it's not because their dial broke. It's because they really were interested in what was going on here.
But you know what we could do, Emmanuel?
What's that?
If one more person calls, I can put somebody on who we spoke with last week.
Okay, great. So we'll hear from a fellow prisoner of Mark's. If one more person calls in, 212-279-3400, we'll be giving that person a voice to the tri-state area. All it takes is one person, and that one person can be you. Now, don't just call and hang up. That's not going to count. Have to call and pledge something, all right? And it can be whatever you can afford. Remember, we take Visa and MasterCard, so if you have one of those magic plastic cards in your pocket, that can really help out in a situation like this. 212-279-3400. We're up to $795 here, so we're $205 away from our goal for tonight, so we want people to help us out. 212-279-3400. And all it takes is one more person.
How long have I been on, by the way?
This particular call?
Yeah.
About 4 minutes, I think.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So that should take you almost to 10-2. And if you're able to call back again, that'd be great, but that'll bring you close enough to midnight. When they shut down your phone system, right?
Yes, they do.
Wow. 212-279-3400. Still waiting for that call. I think we're kidding. We're not going to put the person on until we hear from somebody. We have to know people care out there. Yeah. So, how's the weather out there?
It was actually nice the past couple of days. It was nice today, and it was kind of nice yesterday, which is really driving me crazy because I'm having hay fever, allergies and stuff, and it's kind of late in the season for it. But for whatever reason, it's happening now up here in the mountains, and it's been hot and cold on and off, and the weather is really sporadic right now.
You know, when we brought you up there, or over there, or what have you, it was the dead of winter, and this was the winter that seemed to last forever.
Yeah, that's true.
And then visiting you this summer, it was extremely hot. I mean, you've seen the extremes. You've seen, you know, and you've had to work outside during all this.
I worked outside the entire winter shoveling snow.
What job do you have now?
Right now, I'm an orderly. I think I might have mentioned this last week. I'm an orderly in one of the ranges that we live in our building. There's four ranges, and it's kind of like an army barracks type setup with open cubes.
So you buff floors still.
My job is basically to make sure everything is nice and shiny and clean and stuff like that.
And you're doing the floor buffing still?
Yeah.
Okay. They haven't attacked you again, have they?
Oh, no, nothing like that. We kind of built up a relationship, me and the buffer.
Okay, we always were pretty good with buffers there. I guess you're looking forward to working on the net when you get back out, right?
Oh, definitely. I can't wait to get out of here and get back to doing something with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really get depressed here because you feel like you have absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
Yeah, the net connections to prison are leave a lot to be desired, don't they? Wouldn't that be great if you had an actual net connection, though, if we could actually...
It would be nice, yeah.
Yeah, that would be something. But I'm sure that's something that...
maybe in the distant future.
Representative Markey would not approve of, so that probably will never happen.
You're a good friend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, 212-279-3400. I see we've gotten the call, so let's fulfill our promise.
All right. Here he is.
All right. Thanks to the people that called in.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Okay, and which person is this that we spoke to last week?
This is Ira.
Ira, and you were in for what again?
I was in for the money laundering and the conspiracy, the drug conspiracy.
Okay, so you were the ecstasy person, right?
I'm still here for that. They haven't changed it yet.
And you're in for 6.5 years?
Right.
Amazing. And when did you start serving?
I actually started like 2 or 3 days before Mark.
Okay.
I've seniority over him.
Wow.
So, I mean, all the questions we've asked Mark, I guess, you know, carry six times the weight for you when we ask what you miss the most.
Oh, yeah, I guess you would say that. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm a person that adapts to new environments very well, and I've really, I have to say, for somebody that's in jail, I've made myself pretty comfortable.
Uh-huh.
I mean, as comfortable as I can get. So, I mean, I've made it to the point that I can see the 6 years ahead of me and not feel like I'm going to go completely nuts.
So how do you do it? What do you see?
I'm trying to make the best that I can. I'm using the time to get a college education and learn all the things that I wanted to learn that I just never had the time to do on the outside because I was always working. I'm trying to make it like a nice 6 year vacation.
That's a real positive outlook there. What part of the world are you from?
I'm from my own little world in New York.
Okay, and you say you adapt well to new environments. What kind of environments have you been in?
Well, I mean, you know, being in the city, you can move from block to block and you're in a different environment. So
that's certainly true.
This environment, you have to understand, I mean, you're under the reign of the dictator. I mean, you have to do what you're told. I mean, you have to be willing to be able to bite your tongue and deal with being mentally abused, you know, the whole way through. So, I mean, that's basically what the type of environment is here. I mean, you understand this is a camp, and you have a lot more freedom than somebody might have in a penitentiary. But there are other kinds of problems that you incur.
Have they ever taken you across the street to the nasty place?
Well, I'll have to answer that yes, but I need an explanation. I used to work down there. That was my first job, so I used to go down there and clean. So it wasn't for any bad reason. I just used to go down there. I was an orderly down there.
Uh-huh. And what kind of differences did you see?
Well, immediately, the guards are completely different. You're treated differently. You really get to know that you're a prisoner. And they know that you're a camper, and they know that you're coming there just to work, but they really don't discern that when you're working there. And you're really treated differently. You're followed everywhere. You're never allowed to walk behind an officer. Little things that you just notice in their body language that really separates you. I have to say that 90% of the time when a guard comes into the camp, they understand that they're in a camp and the people here are different. And you don't get that feeling when you're down at the FCI. They really, you know, you're in a different place. You're in a different world. You have to be watched every moment, every movement that you make.
Wow, that is something. So apart from getting your college education, is there anything else you're looking forward to there? Do you do a lot of reading?
Sure, I have found a lot of comfort in reading that I never found before, and I'm teaching a few classes here, so I'm really looking forward to doing that. It's my way of sharing what knowledge I have to the other inmates that are here.
Uh-huh. Do you think that you've done anything to merit this kind of punishment, though?
Well, let's just say I'm not going to be one of those guys that pleads that I'm innocent the whole way and what they're doing to me is terrible and it's torture and they never should have done it. My big issue is to let the punishment fit the crime. I mean, 6.5 years for a minor conspiracy charge with some drugs is a little absurd. I mean, $2,000 money laundering charge to land you 6.5 years is obnoxious. I mean, everybody would have been upset, you know, to find out that you're going to jail. But once you get here, you realize that a year sentence or even a 2 year sentence really isn't the end of the world. You know, you do it, you get it over with, and then your life goes on. But when you're facing 6.5 years for something so minor, it makes you wonder why you just didn't go out and kill somebody.
Yeah, I mean, people have killed people and gotten less than that.
Oh, I should have gotten away with more money or something.
Yeah, right. Is there anything that can be done on the outside? Is there a possibility that this sentence could be shortened?
Can't allow the government to get away with this. They have to. I mean, I really don't know what to tell the people to do exactly, but something has to be done. Something can be done. They can explain to, you know, that the government has made such absurd drug laws that they're taking people that aren't necessarily innocent but didn't necessarily do something that bad, and they're ruining their entire lives. I mean, the whole idea is, what is prison? It's supposed to be rehabilitation, but it's not. It's punishment. You're not rehabilitating anybody. You're just punishing them. You're making the situation worse. I mean, what happens is the people are going to get out. They're not going to have anything to do but go back to what they did before. And if they get caught again, well, that's the end of their life because they'll be here forever now.
Are there lots of other people there that have similar sentences?
vary at this place. I mean, you have to understand where we are. We're in a camp, and we're in a very protected camp. So a lot of people here get special treatment because they treated the DEA right or the prosecutor right, so they got rewarded instead. I'm not one of those people, so I'm one of the rarities that has an extremely long sentence.
I see. Well, Ira, can you give out your name and address so that if any of our listeners can write to you or help you in any way, they have a way of getting in touch with you?
I'd like to. I'd love to get mail. The name is Ira Heaps, H-E-A-P-S, and my number is 343-14-054. And the address, do you want the whole address?
Yes.
It's FPC Schuylkill, P.O. Box 670. Minersville, Pennsylvania, 17954-0670.
Okay, and your prisoner number again was 34134-054?
No, 34314-054.
34314-054, got it. Okay, hopefully a lot of our listeners will write to you and not forget about you either.
I'll even write them back.
Okay. Good luck, and I wish there was something I could think of right away that would make you feel better, but there isn't. We'll just send you lots of things.
Oh, that looks like the time's gone on the phone.
Okay, is Mark still there?
Yes, hold on.
Okay, thanks.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Well, yeah, you got one click already, so you have a few.
Well, that's the only click we get with the new phone system.
Oh, you don't get two clicks?
Oh, just one now.
Ah.
Well, we can try to call back.
Okay, are there people waiting?
Just one person.
Okay, so maybe we'll get through.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it was good talking to him.
Oh, guess what?
What?
That the other person just got off the phone, and that one person is now using the phone.
Okay, so why don't you call us right back?
Okay.
All right. Mark's going to call us right back. We're at $935, which means we're only 65 away from our goal. We have 10 minutes. I hope there's a couple of people out there that see fit to give us a call now at this late stage. 212-279-3400. Please call us. 212-279-3400. Show support for the kind of voices that you hear on this radio station, for the kind of thought that you hear.
Hi.
Hey, okay, you're back. Just telling the folks that they're only $65 away from our goal, and we just need a couple of more callers. 212-279-3400. A lot of places, a lot of people want to sweep prisoners under the rug, and we certainly don't want to do that here. We want to hear the stories. Ira's case is just incredible to me. The fact that someone could be sent away for so long for such a really minor offense.
Well, Ira fell into the trap of a trial, and it's really unfortunate that people think that they're going to get a fair shake, that they're going to go to trial because they feel that. That they have a fighting chance, when in reality they try to make people plea and force them into a corner. And in his case, he didn't fall for that, and he thought that he had a fighting chance by going to trial, and it turned out to be obviously for the worse.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was something that you were battling, whether or not to go to trial or to plead guilty.
I could be Ira. I could be talking to you from here, and I could have at least 5 years. At the very minimum.
Incredible. So it really depends on who those 12 people are. I mean, if they think that the crime you committed is particularly heinous, then you could go away for a very long period of time.
Yeah. What it all boiled down to was that, given the slant that the prosecutors had, and the just seeing the attitude of the judge, and seeing the attitudes of the federal agents, and knowing all the people who were going to testify against me, It was just really tainted. Seeing all the discovery material, the supposed evidence against me,
mm-hmm.
and having to say that I was going to trust 12 people I don't even know to understand any of this, that sounded like probably the worst of the two things that I could have done.
Yeah, that would have been much worse, obviously. Do you think there was anything you could have done, though, beforehand, and avoided prison altogether?
Well, beforehand, how far back do you mean? You mean?
Well, obviously, yeah. I guess you couldn't have gotten involved in hacking in the first place, but.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that. I mean, my demise was the people who I dealt with, obviously.
Uh huh.
And.
I'm saying after indictments came down, if Is there something more you could have done to cooperate with them?
Oh, well, sure. They can say that you know, they're going to cook up some juicy deal where you testify against other people.
Right, but if everybody was going to testify against you already, how could you testify against them?
Well, not everyone was.
Uh-huh.
I mean, one person in the indictment was, another person who was peripheral was, and then there were any number of unnamed co-conspirators, they call them, who were co-conspirators who aren't named in the indictment.
But the way it works is you kind of have to make your deal before the other people make their deal, because if they make their deal before you, then there's no deal left for you to make.
That's true, yeah. In a way. It depends. Also, you have to consider the fact that I was probably fingered by the feds as being, for lack of a better word, I guess the most dangerous person that they would have been after.
Well, I mean, they get this radio station down there, you know. They've heard your voice. They know that you're outspoken, and you don't really say that, you know, you're a criminal and yet you do bad things. You don't admit to that kind of thing. You don't think that... That seeking knowledge and spreading information is wrong.
Yeah.
And because you don't confess to your sins, you become especially dangerous. And as the judge said, you must be sentenced as a symbol.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, I don't know, Mr. Symbol, how this kind of thing happens, but it's got to be stopped somehow. You know, all they're doing is building new prisons everywhere.
That's true. And why don't we ask... the person who's there helping out, he's from Pennsylvania. Why is it that Pennsylvania has so many prisons?
Well, actually, he just left. but I'd like to know that myself. I'm not sure if he would have the answer to that. But I don't know. Why does Pennsylvania have... Pennsylvania is the only place I ever got a ticket in a car, you know? I was doing something like 57 miles an hour in a 55 zone, and I got a ticket for that. So I'm beginning to wonder about Pennsylvania. It seems like a very strange place, and they have all these bizarre abortion laws and... I don't know. They just seem to be moving in the other direction as everybody else. But it's not a Pennsylvania thing, though. It's a U.S. thing with this prison mentality. You know, where half the citizens will be locked up and the other half will be keeping them locked up.
That's true. But it is the community planners who have the final say in whether or not. You know, obviously, I guess they might not have the final say, but they're going to really raise a ruckus if they don't want a prison built in their vicinity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think the people of Frackville are really going to have much pull.
No, but I mean, on the contrary, I think people should know that since I've been here, we've seen people from the community come here and be given a tour of the prison. And it seems to be that this particular prison is here completely with their blessing. They think that they're serving some greater good of the people or something.
Right. Well, I think you'll find that kind of mentality in many places where people are actually proud to have prisons. I mean, you know, in the film Roger and Me, I know there was a big thing about a prison opening up, and the people of the community were so happy to have this prison that they even had a party there before they opened it for inmates, and they spent, I think, upwards of $100 to spend a night in jail and actually be locked up, and it was part of the whole thing. And then of course, the next day they left and the prisoners arrived.
That's really pathetic.
Yeah, and that's it's this bizarre circus atmosphere that seems to surround everything these days. And prisons notwithstanding. So, I don't know. I think we're far away from people waking up and saying that prisons are bad things. Prisons are admissions of failure in society. You have no choice but to keep somebody confined. That's the only way you can deal with them. That's the only way society can handle these people. And obviously, the people that you're there with, I would assume the vast majority of them, are people that would have no trouble in society. Society is in no danger from them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's implied. This is a white-collar prison for nonviolent offenders. There's no one that I've met here who I would consider a violent person. You know, there's no one here who is a major threat to society at all.
Not even some of the guards? Now, you don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer that. But, that's completely true. And if that is the case, then why? For God's sake. I mean, there's other ways of punishing people, but this just does not seem... This should be a last resort. You can find people that have to be kept separate from society, but...
Well, you know what I think, Emmanuel?
What's that?
I think last week we touched upon one of the major reasons why these camps exist, because it begs the question, why don't they just put nonviolent offenders on home confinement?
Uh-huh.
And I think when we started touching onto the topic of Unicor last week... We hit the tip of the iceberg, and I think that most of these camps exist for the the sheer purpose of money and greed.
Yeah, well, they get a lot out of you guys. I mean,
but yeah.
You know, taxpayers wind up paying a huge amount to keep somebody in prison, but the prisoner is an able-bodied person that can do work. How many hours a day do they work, these people?
Oh, we work, some people work 4 hours, some people work 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
Some people work every day of the week. The bakers in the kitchen bake every day.
Yeah. But, you know, a company like Unicor, run by the government, staffed by prisoners, making furniture, that's being paid, what, 20 cents an hour for that?
Roughly, yeah.
It's a scandal, all right. It's something that we have to take a good look at.
Someone here just wanted me to bring up the fact that we here are just as adamant about doing something about violent crime as anyone on the outside is.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it at all. I've seen people there. When I go to visit, I see the other prisoners, and, you know, you realize these are real people. These aren't violent animals that need to be locked up, you know. People like that exist, sure, and we have to deal with them in a certain way, but, you know, you don't criminalize everybody and throw them all into the same pit and say, you're a criminal and you're not, and that's all there is. That's all the distinction. Everybody commits a crime of some sort. Everybody can be found guilty of something. I don't care. There's nobody out there that that can say that they have not committed some sort of a crime at some point in their lives. I challenge Jesse Helms on this. I'll find something in his past.
Well, that's about it for me. We just got the click, and the phones are about to be turned off.
Okay, well, I guess we got the equivalent of a click, too, because we're about to finish up for the night as well. Robert Knight is up next. Mark, we're not on next week.
Okay.
So we'll talk to you hopefully in 2 weeks.
All right, sounds good.
Usual time period. All right, you hang in there until then.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
That was Fiber Optic coming to us live from prison. And, you know, I didn't write down the address, but I can tell you that if you want to write to Mark, it's Mark Abene, A-B-E-N-E, 32109-054 is his number. Right, I think I can remember the rest of it, too. Let's see, FPC, Federal Prison Camp at Schuylkill, S-C-H-U-Y-L-K-I-L-L, Unit 1, P.O. Box 670, Minersville, Pennsylvania. I don't know the zip, I'm sorry. 19-something. So if anybody there has a zip, you can call up the post office and I'll give it to you. Or look in a back issue of 2600, and I'm sure it'll be printed there as well. That's it for us. I'm happy to say we made it over the 1,000 mark. So thanks to everybody who called in, showed their support. Again, everybody will be getting a Loom Panics catalog as our way of saying thanks. And if you want to still call in, it's not too late. We won't be on next week, so that's it for us during this fundraiser. We'll be back in 2 weeks. And, yeah, we'll have a scandal for you in 2 weeks. We're still working on it now. That's why we can't say anything. We're not trying to not give information out. We just want to make sure it's right when we do give it out. So 2 weeks, we'll be back in our usual time slot, and we'll see you then. Take care.
In November of 1992, the U.S.-Cuba Friendship Mint broke the embargo of Cuba by delivering 15 tons of urgently needed humanitarian aid to the Cuban people. In August of 1993, the U.S. government tried to prevent church activists from delivering a little yellow school bus to a Cuban church. The United States failed, and the school bus was delivered. In March of 1994, the Friendship Mint again broke the embargo by delivering a 10-foot satellite dish to Cuba. plans are now underway for the fourth U.S.-Cuba fringe shipment. The caravan will travel through 150 cities in the United States, Canada, and Mexico, collecting humanitarian aid and providing information about the embargo and Cuba. If you want to participate or support the fourth fringe shipment caravan, call 212-926-5757. That's 212-926-5757.
This is a public service announcement by WBAI on behalf of IFCO and Pastors for Peace.
We're here on 57th Street telling folks about the 1994 Food and Hunger Hotline Full Cycling Tour. Oh, excuse me, miss, do you ride a bike?
Why else would I be wearing this ugly helmet and these sexy stretch pants?
How would you like to ride 40 or 60 miles out of the city, enjoy the fall foliage, and get a free lunch when you return?
Huh? What, a bagel with cream cheese?
No, a gourmet lunch.
Chives in the cream cheese?
I'm talking a gourmet lunch donated by great restaurants.
My ex, Herb, he was big on gourmet.
All you have to do is raise $50 in pledges.
He took me out for a pheasant once. I had to shoot it myself.
Reebok and Archer Daniels Midland are sponsors, and proceeds will go to Food and Hunger Hotline and One City Cafe.
When is it?
Saturday, this Saturday. So call the hotline at 212-533-7600.
533-7600.
Right. And, hey, have a nice ride.
That's what I said to Herb when I left.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York. It is about 4 minutes after 12, and this is Earthwatch. Robert Knight is following up on the Haiti story, and he's out there busily collecting information for future reports. So he's asked me to basically introduce the following piece. But first, to Earthwatch.